Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Cody Georgeson, Travis, and Jamie Snell. Coming up on TMS, getting 69 out of Disneyland.
What's his bucket, then the other guy?
The five things Scott knows about sports.
A stocking filled with soup.
Hitchcock tummy tuck.
Reinhardt and Doug.
Do the Brewers still exist? Because I, like, really wanted to know.
Too fast, too furiosa.
The happiest exit on Earth.
John Henry's ghost peppers.
Mario Kart bathroom numb.
Canadian super pig invasion.
Nobody can fight big wedding.
Transparent purple hemorrhoid.
Gross. Anything, everywhere, all at once with Steven and more on this episode of...
I don't need some fancy cologne to tell me I'm a man. I use Skin Bracer. It smells great, but it also cools and tones my skin. Confidence is very sexy. Don't you think?
I amaze even myself.
The Morning Stream, Monkey Wannabe.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is Monday, December 4th, 2023. I am Scott, and that is Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott. Boy, Jack Palance, never noticed the...
Listen, I don't need some fancy cologne to tell me I'm a man.
He's like,
it's like a little sniff gulp. Like,
yeah. I think that was toward the bitter end there. And
that's right. Yeah, I could see him doing that between each one-armed push-up.
Yeah, kind of a. I don't know. He's one of those guys that was so weird that when he died, I felt more remorse when Jack Palance died than I have for almost anybody else in Hollywood of that era, because the only real connection I have to him is that A, he's weird, and B, he did that weird, that audio thing we love where he's in the doing commercial reads and getting all pissed at the
producers. Yes, I'm not going to read it the way you want me to read it.
Exactly. And then he's out there doing one hand or one arm push-ups. That guy was a singular weirdo.
Yeah, of course, City Slickers, just great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Who was in the sequel? Who was his brother who played? Because it was Curly, right? Legend of Curly's Gold, and then his brother was the one who took everybody to.
Don't remember who played him though. Oh my gosh, have I even seen that sequel? I might not have seen it.
I'm trying to see if I've got the Jack Palance. Oh, I don't have the Jack Palance audio on my computer. I've got like two or three CDs of those audio clips of celebrities behaving badly, and it's like, you know, it's Jack Palance yelling at the dude. It's Spartacus, the NRA guy.
Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, not Kirk Douglas. That's right. Kirk Douglas is Spartacus, the other guy.
Oh, I don't know.
NRA dude.
Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston.
Heston, thank you. Jeez Louise. Charlton Heston yelling at somebody.
Yeah, these are all from that era, though. These are all those guys, right? Yeah.
Casey Kasem bitching about a doggy death dedication.
Yeah.
Linda McCartney's horrible singing when just her microphone is on during the end of Hey Jude.
Oh, right. Oh, right.
There's so much good stuff on those CDs.
Those are great. by the way, here's a little Palance from the past.
So let's do this thing.
That's the one where he's like, I want to get this over with.
I'm not going to say it the way you want me to say it. I'm going to say it the only way I know how, which is the way I'm going to say it. So let's do this thing so we can both get out of here while we're both alive or something like that. Like,
yeah, he's great. He's a great grumpy old Hollywood type. And if you haven't heard that, everybody seek it out.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple quick things. We get, you know, it's a new month, obviously. We got...
Oh, Jack Palance, by the way. Jack Palance played the brother in the sequel to City Slickers.
Oh, he played himself?
Oops. He was twin brothers, yeah, exactly.
Oh, see, I don't think I saw the sequel.
I knew there was something. I couldn't put my finger on it. There was something goofy about it.
I have a strong memory that that sequel was bad, and nobody liked it, so I didn't go. I just avoided
it. Yeah, that's actually it. I don't think I ever saw it. there's no way it's good. There's no chance.
People talk about how reviewers, you know, curve the going audience today. It was not that different back then. We'd hear about stuff from, I don't know, Ebert and what's his bucket and the other guy. Anyway, these famous reviewers would say things and they'd go, yeah, I don't, it's a bad movie. And we would not go because of it. We'd still be swayed, you know?
Yeah. Oh, we totally would. Back then, because it was, you had like two reviewers that you trusted. It was Siskel and Ebert for me. I was watching those guys. And if they didn't like a thing, I probably wouldn't have gone to see it. And now you've got, you know, thousands of reviewers, some actually accredited writers, some just idiots. And
dopes.
Boy, is my recommendal on Wednesday going to showcase that.
Oh, really?
There are people on Rotten Tomatoes who hate the movie that I'm recommending just because it is one of these things that takes place in one location. Kind of like Breakfast Club, right? Mm. So these reviewers basically would bitch about it like, oh, they never left the detention room. It totally sucked. Man, I don't know how much money it cost to make this piece of crap, but they never left that school. God dumb.
Well, what's the point of... But there's so many great movies that are like that.
Exactly, that are take place in one location, in one room, or one... exactly, yeah.
How about the movie Room? That one's real good.
For the most part, yes. It takes place in a single room.
Not the room. Forget about that, you know.
Tearing me apart, Lisa.
Oh, hi, Mark. that's actually kind of filmmaking I enjoy. I like it. It's claustrophobic and interesting.
Yeah. And man, this album, or the album, this movie, it's an album, Scott. It's like a track after track of great acting.
Sure.
This movie is, I'm excited to talk about it because it falls on the shoulders of one actor who does, I think, an incredible job of relaying an entire story, of basically doing an entire story with a bunch of voice actors.
Wow.
It's really good.
Okay. Yeah. I have zero idea what this is, so I'm actually really stoked to hear about it.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. So a couple things before I get to the elephant in the room. Let's talk about this whole Brewers thing. Luke in Boulder in Colorado. Yeah, we hear from him all the time. Yeah, we're gonna ease in a little bit, okay?
Good. Because I was wondering about this too. So all right.
So Luke says on today's episode, Scott said he went to Wisconsin to watch Brewers games back when they were the Brewers. I need more information on what the Brewers are now. Shout out to my Arizona Diamondbacks who beat the Brewers in the playoffs this year. I used to live in Arizona and I'm still partial to most Arizona teams. Well, Luke, I made the mistake of thinking that the Brewers had left, or they changed names, or was sold and a new team was there, or they had no team at all. And this tells you how closely I follow regular baseball, because I thought they were gone. I don't know why I thought that, but I did. So every time I bring this story up a lot, not just on shows, but like in just personal conversations, or people are like, mm-hmm. you ever been to Wisconsin? Yeah, I saw a Brewers game back when they had, you know, back when they were playing, and people mm-hmm. kind of look at me funny, but I've never questioned it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So this isn't the first time you've even said that. How funny.
Yeah. So, Luke, you're responsible for me finally going, oh, shit, they're still playing?
They're still playing and made it to the playoffs at least. Yeah.
I don't really follow, you know, it's funny because I've seen that Ken Burns baseball documentary, which is 18 hours long plus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen it, I think, 4 times now total. I love mm-hmm. it. Absolutely love it. But I'm more in love with the lore and the vibe of baseball.
Sure,
that I am following current season
each
stuff.
Individual teams and
yeah,
stuff
I don't
like
care
that.
About any
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, of course.
But I love the institution of it. It's a fun thing to follow and learn about
for sure.
But yeah, I I stand corrected. The Brewers are alive and well and actually did okay this year.
the story about the Brewers' demise has been greatly exaggerated.
Yes.
Listen, as someone who's made the mistake of thinking something and saying it out loud on this show and to be told that I'm wrong, then it's, you know, so it happens and that's just what we do.
And the Seattle... Okay, so I'm going to see if I can blow this.
Okay.
The Seattle... What were they before?
You don't want to end on a win. Okay.
No, I want to screw this up as much as I can. So, Seattle had an NBA team, and they were called the Seattle Supersonics.
That's correct. Yep.
Very good. They are not there anymore, and they have no replacement team. Correct. There's no other team.
I believe that's correct. I don't think there is another basketball franchise in Seattle.
I think they just straight up lost it. Or sold it.
I think
or
so. Whatever. Right. I'm pretty sure you're right. But, okay.
And I can tell. So there's a win. I could tell you that the Jazz are from New Orleans originally. Win number two. That's an easy one.
Okay. Good.
what's another one?
So after saying, you know, there was the one thing you didn't know, you're going to tell us the five things you do know about sport. Okay. All right.
Michael Jordan was very good.
Good. Okay.
Larry Bird looks like your mailman, but he's really good. And
here's a fun piece of sports trivia. GOAT stands for greatest of all time. Yeah. Yeah. Make a note of that.
Yeah. Make a note of GOAT. That's got periods in it, though. It's a initialism in this case.
It's an acronym.
Or acronym because it spells something, right?
Because it spells something. Yep.
I always get them mixed up, man. Always.
Yeah.
So an acronym is like FBI is an initialism because you can't
Sonar
say it.
Is an acronym.
Oh, I didn't know Sonar was a short for something. What's it short for?
I think so. Isn't it Sonic? Because radar is... all right. No, this might be this Brian...
No, this is good. I want to learn. I like learning.
Hold on a second. Hold on. It is an acronym, isn't it? Sound navigation and ranging. Yes, thank you. Jeez Louise.
Okay.
And radar is... Radar O'Reilly is what that stands for.
Radar is an acronym. Radio location system using radio waves. Is it short for something, though?
Yeah.
Looks like radar is not, according to this.
Oh, really?
Well.
Radio detection and ranging.
How's it? Oh.
The RA from radio.
Oh.
The D
oh.
from detection.
They keep the A the, for radio in there? I guess to spell
and
something.
They do.
Out.
And because otherwise it'd be RDAR.
Ardar. All right. Well, I learned two new things today. That feels good.
Good.
I learned
excellent.
Three new things right. today. I learned the Brewers still exist, plus excellent. Those two other science things. So this is fantastic.
And all right. But here's another thing. Alfred Hitchcock didn't have a belly button. There you go. Now you've learned five new things.
Wait a minute. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
How? What happened? Was he born? Was it like Wendy's boy Peter with his guts on the outside?
I have no idea.
Because there's only really two ways to do it. One,
Alfred Hitchcock, his belly button disappeared when he was sewn up after surgery.
Oh, well, that's fine.
That's a great response. Oh, well, that's fine.
That's fine. In my head, I was like, well, he's either cloned, which didn't happen back then, or he did like Peter. Although even Peter has
Peter
a weird scar.
Yeah. I'm sure Alfred Hitchcock had a weird scar, too.
Yeah, he probably did. He probably had a number of weird scars that none of us want to know about. All right, elephant in the room. Sitting there like
all right,
a big...
Let's get it out of the way.
Big,
pull the Band-Aid
fat,
off.
Big fat gray elephant just sitting there in the room staring at everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The Furiosa trailer dropped. I didn't know it was actually happening. I didn't know that was coming. So it hit me kind of all at once. And it was
surprise.
While we were starting Core. So people in the pre-show for Core got to see my live reaction to it.
Nice.
I have now seen it probably anywhere between 25 and 30 times. some with other people, probably five of those are with other people. The rest are me just over scrutinizing and analyzing it. To say I'm excited is an understatement. I'm very excited. And what I love the most, I knew Hemsworth was in this. Nobody knew what he was going to be or what his deal is. Turns out he is a character called Dementus. Mm-hmm. And he looks suitably wackadoo.
Today I learned that there wasn't already a character in Fury Road called Dementus. If you would have asked me a week ago, was there a character in Fury Road called Dementus? I would have said, oh, of course there is. Yeah, absolutely.
The only theory I had going into this is that maybe he was Scrotus, which is one of Immortan Joe's sons that you don't hear about in Fury Road, but he is in the video game. And he's canon. Okay. He exists as one of his, but he's like a rogue son. He went on, he didn't like what his dad was up to and left and started his own warlord business. So he's the big
business cards.
Yeah.
And stuff,
his cards, you know, webinars, all that kind of stuff.
Right. Good. Yeah.
But
my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah. But he's in Scrotus is in that, and Scrotus is the big bad in that. And he's great. Very cool character. So I kind of thought, well, is this like the beginning of Scrotus or something? Nope, sure. It's a character named Dementus. Don't know much else about him, except we know at some point they go to the Bullet Farm. Very excited to explore whatever the hell that is.
Sure.
And
we see that big old avalanche of bullets washing over him.
And I think Anya Taylor-Joy looks perfect for the young Furiosa role. She looks great.
She looks great, yeah.
She looks really good. The minute she starts smearing axle grease on her head, I'm like, yep, we're in. We're going. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, you guys. I can barely handle it. As you probably all predicted, I'm losing it. So watch.
So here's the question. When does the movie come out?
May 24th.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's a while. We got 5 months or so.
5 months of this, 6 months of this stuff going on.
Six months. You're going to have to deal with me in Vegas before this happens.
Oh, my God. No kidding. Oh.
Even Kim goes, is it come out the Vegas weekend? That would be amazing. I'm like,
that would be really cool to see it in a big group like that. No kidding.
Yeah, dude. Are you kidding me? I'm so excited. Anyway, so it's happening.
Still time to figure out if you can, if you do like a little get together, or do you want the initial watching of it to not have any distractions of other like tadpoolers and stuff? You just want to let that first viewing wash over you.
No, in fact, what I would like to do, and we talked about this as well. So you know how in the pandemic you could get a theater for like $150 bucks?
Yeah, you still can. Yeah,
are they that cheap?
AMC needs that needs that influx right now.
But have they gone up in price? I assume they have. There's no way it's still $150 bucks, right?
Oh, I'm sure. And it was only $150 if you were cool watching something that they happen to have on VHS, right? Oh. It was basically like, Under Siege 2? Yeah, $150 bucks. Show it to all your friends in the theater.
Yeah, that it appears that that we're going to pay more if we do this. But I'm thinking I might rent a theater, figure it out a way, get a bunch of tadpoolers, locals out there, watch this thing in a big group. Because I would rather watch it with them than with strangers.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Bunch of PUDs
in
there who don't
appreciate
it.
If you do it, I'll come out for that.
Oh, my gosh. Did you guys hear it? You heard it here first. Brian will be here.
I'll be there.
Maybe we will.
I'll see if I can get, basically, I'll do lift rides all the way to the Utah border.
And oh,
see
I love
if I can
it.
Get somebody who needs to go to Grand Junction, and then somebody who needs to go to
Green River. Get them out to Green River.
Yeah.
Moab, maybe. Stop off at Moab.
No, once I cross the border, I'm not allowed to lift. I can only lift in the state in which my driver's license is.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah, is licensed.
Oh,
yeah, because I thought it would be fun if I could have done it. 1 week of lifting in Vegas and stories to tell on TMS about it.
Interesting. I didn't know.
But,
I thought that would be a thing
I can't
where you
do
could
it
just
unless I have a
go anywhere.
Las Vegas driver's license, or I mean a Nevada driver's license.
I figured it was like my dumb marriage thing I can do. I can do marriages in any state that allows for it, except Vegas. Nevada. Nevada's the only weird one because they have.
That's so weird.
Yeah, well, it's because they have their own local booming.
Yeah, it competes against
economy.
All of the sure. Sure.
Yeah, I can't fight against that. That's big Vegas. That's big Vegas.
It's a big wedding.
That's right. Nobody can fight big wedding. All right. Let's. Oh, you have a story. I'd like to hear this story.
I have a story. Oh, yeah. Tina. So we're watching SNL Saturday night because it's Saturday Night Live. And so we're watching it live on Saturday night.
Right.
And Tina loves Weekend Update. That's about unless there's a really good skit. I mean, she likes the Please Don't Destroy guys, so if they have a really good pre-recorded thing, and their thing this week was fantastic. It was really funny. But we'll always catch Update because it's almost always guaranteed laughs. And they get to the story that we talked about here on TMS, which is the guy who took all his clothes off and started walking around naked, climbed out of the boats in It's a Small World at Disneyland and started walking around naked.
Right.
And we're watching this, and the story comes on. She's like, oh my God. And I said, I know. I saw the video of this guy. we talked about on TMS, and we pulled up TikToks that people had posted or videos of it. She's like, wow, I bet he got 69 right out of Disneyland. And without missing a beat, without laughing, I just said, no, 86. I said, do you mind if I tell this story on TMS? She's like, that's fine.
It's like the leopard thing. Wasn't he
a cheetah?
Yeah, and you said he's a cheetah, Scott.
He's a cheetah, Scott.
Yeah. Same tone. I love it.
That's right.
That's perfect. So,
I don't know. Maybe Disneyland does have a different way of dealing with folks who do this sort of thing, and they get 69 right out of Disneyland. I don't know.
I feel like it would be a little emasculating to do it in a small world. You know what I mean?
Why? It makes everything look bigger.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's all like little tiny.
Like, I'm a giant.
I'm a huge man.
Wiener.
Look at all these tiny bees.
Nothing small about this world. Look at my huge world.
I think it's a little more disappointing in Pirates of the Caribbean or Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. Haunted Mansion, dude. Can you imagine a guy running around between those mirrors where they do the ghosts and stuff?
Yeah. Like shaking.
You could do like what's his name on a mirror, though, I guess. Or not a mirror, but one of those glass things. I assume that's how I'm seeing ghosts in that one space.
Yeah, it's the... Oh, God, there's the name of the effect. Basically, it's a really well-lit area with all the people dancing in it with a piece of glass that is reflecting the bright people below. It's basically taking place directly under where the cars go,
right?
And I can't remember it's like a Pepper's Ghost. Thank you, Bobby Frank.
Pepper's Ghost.
And basically you're looking at a reflection, you're seeing the reflection of those lit up ghosts through the glass superimposed over where they're supposed to be dancing. And because the perspective of you moving is over the top of where they are, they look to stay positioned where they are as you go by, which is an amazing
that is effect. Cool. Yeah. I've never heard of it before. It's named after English scientist John Henry Pepper.
John Henry Ghost.
Yeah, John, that'd be great. His ghost. He just liked pepper. That's where that came from.
He just liked pepper,
Let's see. He perfected this technique between 1821 and 1900. Popularized the effect. Oh no, that was his age. That's that where he lived.
Gotcha. Okay.
He died in 1900. The effect with the theater demonstration in 1862 and launched an international vogue for ghost themed plays that used the novel stage effect in the 1860s and subsequent decades. Yeah, look at that guy. Well done, Pepper. Very cool. You did it.
Yeah, Sean Bloomy says, I think there's a behind-the-scenes thing on Disney Plus for the attractions at Disney. Yes, and it's called Behind the Attraction. Is that right? Behind the Attraction? And it's really, really good. It's fascinating stuff, and I love Paget Brewster. I think she's great, but her narration is a little over the top. They try to be really, like, zany, and it drives me nuts at times.
I don't like zany
because she'll respond. They have these interviews with all the guys like who created all the rides and all and came up with all the innovations and stuff like that. And she'll say, and then Walt Disney created, and then they cut to a video of Walt Disney going, Epcot. What the heck is that? And then another guy will say, the experimental community of tomorrow or prototype community of tomorrow. Mm. Oh, that clears it up. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, none of this.
Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this method of
everything else. I love about the that show because I'm fascinated by the inner workings of rides.
Yeah. You think that we've even thought about this when we named the Pepper Ghost Pepper?
Yeah, do you think we thought about Pepper's Ghost and the Ghost Pepper?
Yeah,
yes, because if you eat enough ghost peppers, you start seeing Pepper's ghost illusion.
Don't do it. It's like saying Candyman three times, however many.
Oh,
how many?
Gosh, no.
Hold
no.
on, Candyman was three times or five times?
What was Candyman's five. Beetlejuice is three.
That's right. Tony Todd's birthday today. There's a reason I
Oh, really?
Brought that cool. up. Yeah.
And how many times do you say happy birthday in the song Happy Birthday? Happy birthday to you. So just four times. So if you say happy birthday, Candyman, happy birthday, Candyman, happy birthday, dear Candyman, happy birthday, Candyman, that's still only four times.
And you're good. And if you never say Candyman again, oh, shit.
Exactly. And many more Candyman.
There's bees in his mouth.
Right. Oh, no. Help.
We're going to play a game. We're going to play this music. Not that one. This one. Whoa. Played twice. Hey, look who it is. Our old pal Brian Dunaway joining us for the morning half-asses. Good morning, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi. It's nice to have you here. How are you feeling? What's your Monday like?
Oh, it's so good. I feel like I haven't talked to you guys since yesterday. Oh, that's right.
Oh, it's so true. It makes me want to slow motion yell, Brian!
Yep.
Steven.
Steven.
We'll talk to Steven later on in the show.
I forgot to bring it up.
That was true.
But do you think it's fun?
Oh, you kind should keep that for clip.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, you should use it to intro Major Spoilers, Scott.
All right. I think it's fine. I think I may have tossed it. I'll have to look.
Oh, my gosh. That quickly? Jeez.
I might still have it. I get rid of I keep some that are like, you know, good. That one's not good. It's kind of dumb.
I think it's a good one. I think it's a good. It just pisses you off. I think it's a good one to introduce Steven.
Yeah, I might use it today.
Scott's got no space for nonsense.
Well, he does like a clean hard drive. I've noticed that about the folder that we share in Dropbox. He'll go through and like burn it from space kind of thing.
Yeah. I'll usually nuke it from orbit every once in a while. If there's stuff I want, I'll keep it. And then if it's stuff I don't want, I try to, like I was going through these, my podcast files yesterday, doing a whole ton of clean out. And I keep all the shows.
That on Threads.
Yeah, I keep all the shows. It's just that I know I have some duplicates in there and things like that. So I went and found the dupes and got rid of those. But I was a little bit shocked how there's too many. Like I feel like there's nearly 10,000 files that are shows, full shows, average hour plus. No, it's probably average an hour and a half. TMS is an hour and a half on its own. Core is like crazy. 3 hours. And I realized I'm way over the 10,000 rule that what's his bucket always talks about? Who wrote those books? Shit.
Oh, to be an expert is something?
Yeah. 10,000 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So am I an expert now? I must be an expert now because according to, what was his name? It went past my head.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Malcolm Gladwell. It's not Dwayne at all. What am I doing? Can't believe I said Dwayne
the Rock Gladwell.
Anyway, Brian, it's good to have you here. We're going to play a game. I got to log in. That'd be good for me to do.
You got to log in. Oh, yeah. The Wraith 86 says, I kind of hope Brian would do Prodigy Firestarter for Backdraft. You know what? I didn't think
that's
that.
Nice.
That would have been a good one. The one I thought about this morning that I could have used was We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel and just do stuff like On the Roof. Kid with hat,
right. You know? Axeman started the fire.
Yeah,
right. He's exactly. Always burned. Yeah,
burning when the world was turned, and that's exactly the lyrics. We haven't messed it up
was
at
too.
All.
It was too on the nose, right?
It was a little too on the nose. Not like fire isn't right on the nose.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Good point. Yeah. All right. Well, Brian,
I would have enjoyed it. Ibit with like a reverse mohawk doing some fire starter. You know, like waving in his head, Prodigy style.
I love those guys. Miss them. Smack my bitch up. All right, give us a thing. Give us a deal, a game. Tell us a game.
Yeah, welcome to the Morning Half-Ass. This is a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct, and three of them, like my impersonation of that dude from Prodigy, rest his soul, are incorrect. Yeah. Depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if any of those guesses are wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Get one right gets you a point. Get two right gets you 3 points, and get all three correct, and you'll get 5 points. Player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant, and we're pulling contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you're playing for Kirk Reinhardt, a.k.a. Centrifuge, in Portland, Oregon.
Sweet.
And then going to the other side of the country, Brian, you're going to be playing for Doug in Philadelphia.
Nice. Oh, yes, Doug.
Doug in Philly.
I'd watch a buddy cop movie with Reinhardt and Doug.
Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Doug. My favorite Doug of all time, I believe, is it from The State? I'm Doug, and I'm out of here. Wasn't that the state?
I don't remember that. Was that a thing? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either, but that sounds awesome.
But his name was Doug, and he was like supposed to be young and hip, and his dad was trying to always be hip with him. I think it was the state on MTV.
You are correct.
Yeah, that is correct. And he kept trying to hit him up, and he would always go, "Oh, whatever, Dad. My name is Doug, and I'm Addie."
Yeah, it was Michael Showalter did this thing. Hold on, I have a clip here. Yeah. Let's see if I can just play it. Here you go. This would be fun to hear.
Forget it, I'm out of here. Forget it, I'm out of here.
All right. I don't remember it, but awesome. It'll work. It'll work.
Oh, I love audio that's recorded by pointing your phone at a TV. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it.
It's the best.
All right, let's get to this. I've got the first question here. We tend to like movies, and we tend to like movies about this guy who didn't have a belly button. Alfred Hitchcock. Oh. Which of these are actual Alfred Hitchcock movies and which are not? I want you to tell me which of these are, okay? All right. You got Gaslight, Notorious, Frenzy, Suspicion, Diabolique, and Charade. Three of those are Alfred Hitchcock movies. Three of them aren't. I want you to tell me which ones are.
Shit.
You
didn't do any obvious ones. I feel like... Where's the Birds? Where's Psycho?
You know, why didn't you do, exactly, you didn't do anything easy?
Where's Rear Window?
I know.
Where's Vertigo?
I'm doing two.
Okay.
You're doing two?
Scott locked in.
I'm going two as well.
Okay.
Brian is locked in as well. Good job. You guys settled in on Gaslight, Diabolique, and Charade. None of which are
Alfred Hitchcock movies. Oh my God, we picked all the wrong ones.
Frenzy is it's a great one about a serial killer who strangles people with a tie. Gaslight is from 1944 by George Cukor. Diabolique,
I knew it was
really
a movie.
Good. Yeah, all of these are movies. Diabolique is really good. 1955, Henri Georges Clouzot, and then Charade, of course, 1963, Stanley Donen, and that one had Rock Hudson and Jeannie, who was in Charade.
Oh, it
was,
she'd when know they this. Go to, yeah.
She would totally know it. It's where the guy sticks his hand. Oh no, that's Roman Holiday, where they stick their hand in the in the Roman statue.
I love how you stop. It is another. Where the guy sticks his hand. He sticks his hand. I'm gonna wait on this
sticks
word.
Sticks his hand
in
hand. It wasn't that. Yeah. I like Charade. It's like cool little Audrey Hepburn. Right, there we go.
Audrey Hepburn, Cary Grant, Hepburn. Walter Matthau.
Oh, Cary Grant. There we go. Yeah. Not,
so it's not a movie about a game of charades, is what
it is not. It's not. They begin the movie by saying two words. Sounds like
two words.
Yeah,
yep. I had Hepburn last night.
Sounds like
too much.
Not an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Brian, we killed it that first round. Let's see.
Killed
how
that first one. Well, you'll do better on the second one. It's science. Which of these are arachnids? Your choices are Daddy Longlegs, Horseshoe Crab, Bed Bug, Sea Spider, Scorpion, and Tick. Three of these are arachnids. Three of them.
Why is this like a
ain't
trick?
Not arachnids.
I know, right? It just all feels like a trick.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm doing three because I'm feeling lucky.
Okay.
I don't think that is, but I think. But they have I don't know if you have to have a crunchy outer shell to be an arachnid. That's what I'm trying to remember.
What do they call that?
Because these are all chunky. Yeah, these all have chunky outer shells, except for
really
I'm going
one of
that
them.
Way.
The only all one right. that doesn't is the. Well, yeah, we'll let Brian tell us.
Okay. neither of you fell into the sea spider trap. Very good. Daddy Longlegs is a spider and is an arachnid.
Shit.
As is the tick. Spoon! As is the scorpion. Sure. Daddy Longlegs, scorpion, and tick are your three arachnids.
I wasn't sure about the scorpion because he's hard-shelled, right?
It's really just matter? It's
the number
eight
of
legs. Eight legs and two main segments in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Is what makes them
the definition, yeah. The horseshoe crab I knew wasn't because they look spidery, but they're,
Yeah, and they've got like Don't they have like 12 or some stupid number of legs?
Yeah, straight up crustacean. But in the case of
bed bugs have
but
sex.
They're delicious.
The daddy long legs, which I always say dandy because I get it wrong. I don't know why. It's okay.
A dandy.
Thing.
I'm a dandy long legs.
Growing up, I was sure that was it until someone corrected me. But
me on this show, on this very
was it here on this,
you know,
this
very podcast.
You know,
did we talk about it here? I don't remember
talking
about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you didn't. I was like, I said, it's a daddy long legs, and you're like, no, it's a dandy long legs, and and then you Googled it, and
I didn't know we had this conversation.
I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah. Stephanie and Abetz can tell us what episode it happened in.
So
if you're, if you're, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go.
Oh, I was gonna say if you're triggered easy, don't listen to this story I'm about to tell. But
oh,
if you want to know if someone is a sociopath when you're growing up. They tear all the legs off except for one on the daddy long legs so they can watch him go around in circles. Just saying,
oh my
knew somebody.
Jeez,
that's I don't like that. I don't like that
that's
at
horrendous.
All.
Trigger warning off.
What are mosquito? No. What's
they're
the,
blood suckers?
There's a
they're vampires.
There's a spider that gets mosquitoes. What's that called? Mosquito hawk. Oh, that's like a bug. That's that flying bug though. That's not the same. Right. Never mind.
Mosquito hawk.
I like mosquito
hawk. You know,
hawks.
You can add pretty much hawk. You can pretty much add hawk to the end of anything, and it makes it sound cooler.
It totally does. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mosquito hawk.
Console
awesome.
Hawk.
Yeah,
console
yeah.
hawk.
Console hawk. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the last question here. Brian going in with 3 points. Scott going in with 0. So you're going to need all of these, Scott. Don't hold back.
Okay.
Original band names or former band names. These are names that the bands originally had. 3 of them are correct. Radiohead was originally called the Miraculously Majestic Mayhem Squad. The Supremes, known as the Sweet Potatoes. Queen was Pepper Pot. Kiss was Wicked Lester. Maroon 5 was Kara's Flowers. And Creed was Naked Toddler. 3 of these are correct. 3 of these are lies.
Naked Toddler. Come
naked
on.
Naked Toddler.
I'm a naked toddler.
Was that a Creed impression you just
with
did?
Arms wide open to catch a naked toddler.
All right. I'm going to do 2.
Okay.
Aren't you going to need 3 to win? Or to tie?
Well, 3 to tie or 2 points.
Oh, that's
to tie
true.
If he's correct.
I got to go for it. You're right.
Yeah.
Shit. That one's just crazy enough. It's probably right. Unless it's trying to make me think of Nirvana and the kid in the swimming pool. That's a naked toddler. Well, he's a naked infant. That's not a toddler.
He's a naked baby. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, if it was a toddler, that'd
be
creepy.
He's a pool float.
Yeah, he is.
He's a pool float.
I have
All
chosen
right.
my 3. I'm scared.
Well, Wicked Lester indeed was original name for Kiss. Then they switched it to Kiss. Naked Toddler was the original name of Creed.
Oh,
too bad they didn't stick with that. And the Sweet Potatoes, the Supremes, was not the original name.
Oh,
Kara's Flowers
no.
actually was the original name for Maroon 5. Brian gets a point. Scott, close. 2 out of the 3 you needed.
Almost tied it up.
Almost tied it up.
No!
Yep. But Brian talked to you and taken 3.
It just sounds right. It's like... I can hear the Supremes going, you know what we ought to call ourselves? Let's call ourselves the Sweet Potatoes. You know what I mean? Like, it just sounded like a thing you'd do, but poop.
It does.
All right.
But that's Brian. Doug in Philly is going to get a couple games. He's going to get Ghostwire Tokyo and Kraken Academy.
Nice.
Ooh.
But Kirk Reinhardt in Portland, Oregon is going to get Yakuza 4 Remastered. We tried to give these away last week.
That's nice too.
Successful.
That's a
yeah,
good game.
Exactly.
Everybody's a winner today.
Mm. You know, like everybody's getting something pretty damn good. So there you go.
I agree. Part of it was your good company, Brian Dunaway. It's always fun having you on.
Aww.
We'll do this again Wednesday when we do the the other one, the Tadpooley feud. So look forward to that. We have live audience participation in that one. So the stakes are slightly even higher.
Yeah.
So tune in for that. Hey, Dunaway, anything else going on you want to mention before we kick
off? Yeah, I'm breaking out my Game Boy this week, my Game Boy Color. Going to have fun with that. It's going to be 25 years now since the Game Boy Color was released.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
That's what we're talking about this week in the Play Retro Show.
What's your favorite game on the Game Boy Color? Do you want to say, or is that a spoiler for the
I can
the
say.
Play Retro?
I have one. Do you have one?
Yeah, Dunaway? I mean, Yeah, I mean, it's Tetris just across the board for Game Boy. I mean, I've played it so much. Maybe no that's just which, the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me, it's Mario or Mario Golf on there.
For me, can I change mine? Pinball.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
yeah, that was that's a really good one. I own that. All I think I still have that somewhere. That cartridge. Yeah. I think it's in that box right over there.
That box.
That box. Brandon away. Box. Kiss our butts. All right, he's out. Yeah, I sat in. I would sit in the in the bathroom at the work company I worked at until my legs went numb. Playing Mario Kart, or sorry, I keep saying Kart. Mario Golf on the Game
Mario
Boy Color.
Mario Golf.
I had
you want hemorrhoids. That's how you get hemorrhoids.
I had a yellow one. Yellow.
A yellow hemorrhoid?
No, a yellow Game Boy Color.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was not a yellow.
I had the transparent purple.
A hemorrhoid? Oh.
Yes, actually it was, yes.
It does sound like something that would be purple. I don't know.
It does, and transparent. Transparent purple hemorrhoid.
Transpurple. Let's get into some news today. We have time. To do that, though, I have to push a button. Here we go. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
25 Days of Santa Drawings. Scott already has four of them up. Go check them out at frogpants.com/Santa right now to see what's ho-ho-hoing.
Yep, one for the fourth just went up. So that's the fourth of the month. We got four total. That makes sense because it's 4 days in. And I'm doing one every day. Some are weird, some are not. Some are unusual. You'll have to go see for yourself. So check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait until day 25 when I have 25 of these things.
And I know. It's going to be great.
I'm going to never want to draw Santa again, though, after that.
It's almost like you're going to want to do one more on the 26th, a boxing Santa.
I like that with like the gloves and everything.
Yeah, the gloves, exactly. But or just a Santa passed out after a full night of doing stuff.
I like it. I do like 1920s style boxing, though, you know, like fisticuffs, little curled up mustache, you know, guy with his pants too high, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'll look forward to it. Let's get to the news here. This is your first story. A woman punches her husband to death for not taking her to Dubai on her birthday.
Jeez.
Shocking incident. Okay. 36-year-old man died after he was punched in the nose by his wife after he refused to take her to Dubai for his birthday or her birthday celebration. The incident took place.
I mean, she dropped hints. In her defense, she did drop a lot of hints that she wanted to go there for her birthday.
Yeah, and you know, justifiable murder for sure after all those hints she gave. Let's see. The incident took place in the couple's apartment located in a posh residential society in Pune's Wanvarde area on Friday. I don't know where that is. This is India somewhere.
The Wanabdi. Victim,
yeah, is that it? Wanabdi?
What I said, I think.
I don't know what I
said. Wanvardi or something.
Wanvardi. It's my favorite cheese. I love a good hunk of
good
Wanvardi.
Good stinky Wanvardi. Yeah,
it's so good on a cracker. Anyway, the victim identified as Nikhil Khanna, as close as we're going to get, a businessman in the construction industry, had a love marriage with his wife. Had a love marriage.
A love marriage. This definitely is a this is definitely not a translated English article.
Oh,
this
I know what they mean. Absolutely, they mean non-arranged. I just figured it out. That must be what.
Oh,
it is.
A love marriage. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Over there, that's common. I would assume to say it this way over there, but because most marriages, I think, still are.
I mean,
arranged.
Doesn't the fact that she punched him to death for not taking her to Dubai put the love marriage kind of in question?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, it would have been, not that it would be better if it was arranged, but it does seem a little bit worse because it was a love marriage, you know?
A love marriage.
Anyway, they have been married for 6 years. According to a senior police officer posted at the Wanvardi. How'd you say it again?
Wanavdi.
Wanavdi police station. Wanvardi.
I could be wrong. I mean, that's just breaking it down by.
Let me go ahead and guess that you're more.
Phonics worked for me.
You're more right than wrong than I am. On this. I can promise you that. The incident occurred on Friday afternoon. As per the primary investigation, it has been revealed that the couple had a fight because Nikhil did not take Renuka to Dubai to celebrate her birthday and did not give her expensive gifts on her birthday and anniversary.
Bet you it's more that.
Yeah. So she punched him. I'm not sure she meant to fight him. Let's see. She punched him in the face. The impact of the punch was so hard that his nose.
It was one punch?
Multiple punches, but one of them sent their nose bone into her septum and went into the brain. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So don't punch people in the nose. It's actually like you have kind of a high,
yeah,
high likelihood. They call this the death triangle. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. Right.
From here down
you,
to
you
here,
hear about like heel of your hand up through the nose.
Yeah, and it kill you.
Yeah.
But you also want to avoid. So they always say if you have a gnarly pimple on your nose, don't pop it, mm-hmm. because.
Oh, really?
If you get a worse infection, it's like a direct to your brain kind of deal. I forget what they call it. Something triangle of death or something.
Hmm.
Some wow. doctor. This is a doctor term or a skin doctor term. I don't remember where I heard this, but somewhere.
A dermatologist.
Yeah, somebody. I don't. Somebody told me that. I can't remember who told me. Hopefully, it was right. I'm sure Bobby will freak out if it's wrong. That's what he does.
Right.
Let's move to this one. A population of hard to eradicate super pigs are in Canada and are threatening to invade the U.S. Oh man, forget about our southern border. Who's protecting us from super pigs in the north? So it says here, an exploding population of hard to eradicate super pigs, that's in quotes, in Canada, threatening to spill south. It says they're trying to enter Minnesota, North Dakota, and Montana. They're taking steps to stop the invasion. In Canada, the wild pigs roaming Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba pose a new threat. They are often crossbreeds that combine the survival skills of the wild Eurasian boar with the size and high fertility of domestic swine to create a, quote, super pig that is spreading out of control. Ryan Brook, professor at the University of Saskatchewan and one of Canada's leading authorities on the problem, calls feral swine, quote, the most invasive animal on the planet and a, quote, ecological train wreck. That seems a bit
like
much.
Just the fact that they, you don't want to make anything super fertile.
Right.
Because there's no chance it's not going to get out of control.
Yeah.
It's absolutely 100% going, getting out of control.
But calling it
people
the
are
most...
having a hard time, by the way, in both Twitch and, YouTube, lots of buffering and skipping.
Oh, is
I've noticed a little bit with your audio and Discord a couple times.
Oh, too. Yeah, I'm having something's weird. Hold on, let's
okay.
Let me pause things.
Sorry to interrupt the proceedings here.
No, it's all good. Okay, all fixed, all well, all good in the
house. Oh, good. Oh, thank goodness.
Where was I? The super pigs. Oh, they're coming to get us. The super pigs.
What's somebody think?
Oh, crap. Maybe I'm losing you. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Nope, you're there. Never mind.
Okay, good. All right.
I think it had like a little moment of like
yeah.
packet swap or something. Anyway, watch out for the super pigs. They're here to kill you and eat you and have you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's nothing good to come from the super pigs.
Name a thing that's good about super pigs. It's impossible. You can't do
yeah,
it.
Unless they have super bacon. That would be the only... Like if the super pigs, by the way, they have the most tender, delicious bacon known to man, then I'm like, all right, I guess we can live with the super fertility and the ability to withstand a nuclear blast.
Yep. Yep. But not super pigs. By the way, Zoe, don't get too excited about all the super pigs. Okay.
Yeah.
They're not coming to your part of the world. They're coming down here. You have to come back to the States. Come to Minnesota, exactly. Visit your friend, and then while you're here. Kill a super yeah. pig and eat their bacon.
Kill the super pig. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, wait, maybe not. They all right, final story for the day.
Sure.
For now, anyway. Sausage vending machines are booming in Germany.
Ah, yeah, of course.
Got to
yeah.
bring these here. Can we get these here? Hungry
sausage vending machines.
Hungry Germans craving a sausage in the dead of night are increasingly turning to vending machines for their bratwurst, bockwurst, and barbecue meats.
Mm.
The machines are
booming. I haven't heard of Bockwurst. I'm sure I'm assuming that's like a beer infused sausage because I've heard of a Bock.
Oh, is a Bock a beer?
I've heard yeah, beer. There's a beer called a Bock, but I wonder if the meat's somehow infused with beer.
Interesting.
I don't know.
The machines are booming outside German cities where shops are less likely to stay open for long hours, according to a survey. Especially in structured, weak rural areas, vending machine solutions are becoming increasingly popular.
Yeah.
Says Hake Reichter, an industry spokesperson. I'm sure they talk just like that. There is a strong development toward the vending machines, which is used to deliver meat, milk, eggs, and other products to customers outside the core opening times.
Mm.
That makes sense. Would you trust, sure, Brian? Sure. Would you trust a vending machine with your eggs, your milk, your butter, your fruit, your meat?
If I could tell that it was like, if when I got said items out of the fridge, if they were sufficiently cold, then I would trust them. But if I, if it comes out of the machine and it's warm, then no, I will not. I will not.
You will not partake in that.
I will
case.
Not partake.
All right. Well, I think you're. I think you're doing the right thing. It's the right thing that you're doing.
That's right.
Right. All right. That is going to do it for today's news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will join us, and we'll do a little hanging out with him, talking about some nerdy, cool stuff coming up. And Brian will play a song in the meantime. What do you got?
I will. I didn't have it ready. Why didn't I have it ready? It was like it's like I've never done this before. Oh, yeah, this is good. This one, like I was listening to tracks for the show, and then this one came up, and I needed to move it to the front. Like, basically, I was like, oh, this one is so good. I've got to move it to Monday because it was going to be Thursday. Yeah. This is a band called Black Heart Saints. Big thanks to Cleopatra Records for sending this. This is a band from Austin, the most successful rock band from Austin, they say.
Wow, that's a tall,
That is a bold claim, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Josh LeBlanc, Mark Sean, Nathan Flores, and Ian CG. This is their brand new single. It's called Two Drinks In. One more time, thanks to Cleopatra Records and Static Heart Productions. Here are Black Heart Saints and Two Drinks In.
You want me to believe you're talking on your knees. Well, I can see right through you. I've been reading through your lies, things you hide inside, but I don't get around like you do. Gets me.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I believe any man who takes such pride in his natural naked state will surely enjoy the brisk of the outdoors.
There's the dam, Superman!
Hey, real quick before you tell me that song again.
Yeah.
Who's this voice right here?
I believe any man who takes such pride in his natural naked state.
Who is that, do you think? If you had to guess.
Sounds like Ernest Borgnine.
It is.
I believe any man who takes...
You saying Ernest Borgnine threw my brain off. Now I can't remember his name.
The remake of Psycho.
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, shit! That's him in
Hacksaw Ridge, which was awesome. I loved it. Finally watched.
Really? Cool.
Finally watched the 2016 epic that is Hacksaw Ridge, and it was great.
That's so good. Love that movie.
Really, really good. All right. I know Mel Gibson's a dick, but he makes really good movies. All right. Many of them. All right. Where are we now? Oh, tell me who that was one more time, please.
Oh, yeah. By the way, that band was Blackheart Saints from a brand new single they just released called Two Drinks In. Check them out, especially if you're in Austin.
Nice, because they're supposed to be the best in Austin, I've heard. The best band ever to come out of Austin.
Best in Austin, yes.
I don't know. They're taking a card out of politics. If we say we were the best, we must have been the best.
That's right. Oh, well, I mean, I'm saying I'm the best, so everybody has to believe that.
Yeah, you
the
have
best,
to believe exactly. They're the best. But I know who's really the best. It's this guy.
And now, welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
It's Steven Schleicher joining us from Majorspoilers.com, headquartered in Hayes, Kansas. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
How's it going, man? How you doing?
It's going. It's good.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
Yeah. You feeling you feeling the holiday spirit? Are you, gearing up for the good times? No, not so much.
I've bought all my Christmas gifts, and so I am done for the holidays.
Oh, look at you. You're efficient as hell. I'm not that at all. I'm not ready. I got stuff to get. I got things to do. I do have stuff going out. We got Christmas cards going out in the next couple of days. And stuff for I have gifts for all my people that I work with, like you and Brian and everybody. I got all that ready, but then all the personal, like close to home stuff, my wife, any of my kids, I'm not ready. I don't know what they want. I don't know what to do. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna figure it out, I guess. Anyway, Steven, it's good to have you here. Let's talk about some of the stuff that you sent over here. The Across the Spider-Verse script is available to read.
Yeah. So Randy mentioned everybody should watch Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse last week on Recommendals.
Yeah.
And it's a great movie. I personally don't think it's better than the first Spider-Verse movie, it's still very, very good. And one of the things when you have access to a script, oftentimes you can get more nuance and you can get better insight to what the writers were thinking when they were writing the script. And there's a couple of different scripts. Like if you go out and you buy a script online, oftentimes it's just a transcription of what you see on the screen with some conventional movie things like interior, exterior, that kind of stuff. But this one is one that is very accurate to what the creators wanted. In fact, it is because they wrote it.
Right.
So if you're looking for more context and nuance in how some lines are supposed to be delivered or what the inner thoughts are on some of the characters, then going and grabbing this script would be very beneficial to people. Also, you can get to see how many times the writers use the F-bomb in the script.
Oh, really?
There's a bunch. Really? Was there?
Are there a bunch?
Were
of
there
punk?
A lot?
Let's see.
There's like four or five times that the F word is used, but it's more in parenthetical things, like, you know, Gwen is waiting for this to happen, and then in parentheticals, F it, she does it anyway, and then it goes
okay.
into the
oh, yeah.
So
into
less
the thing.
Less or, dialogue, but more, because I remember there yeah, was yeah, one, yeah. right? There was one F-bomb in the
I think
film?
There was supposed to be, but I don't think it made the final cut.
Oh, like, gotcha.
There's
okay.
there's another description. It's like Miles Morales enters the, you know, the Spider-Verse headquarters, and there are so many Spider-Men that it will blow your effing mind.
Mm. Here's an example of them just being a little weird. In Gwen's, so the headline, or the headline, the header is, in Gwen's room, continuous, and then it says, Gwen digs out a police scanner from inside a cute strip, stuffed animal penguin, or Spider Gwen, if you will. Like, they're being goofy in there. I like it. Yeah, this is Peter Lord and whatever, right? That's these guys, or is it?
Yeah, Lord Miller and one other person. I forget the other person.
Those guys are wacky.
Who's on that? But it's free to download. Deadline has it. They also have scripts for a lot of other movies, including Black Panther, Anything Everywhere All at Once, and some other ones that people might want. Yeah, everything everywhere.
I like Anything. I think that's a better name. I want to see Anything Anywhere All at Once. All at Once. That should be the sequel. But
if anybody who's wanting to get into any kind of writing, script writing, et cetera, going and studying scripts alongside the film when you can watch them is a great thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I'm going to have to scan over this thing. I'm always amazed by them because they're so simplified and outliney that you it's hard to imagine. You'd have to be, I mean, obviously you're in the right company when you're working on this with other creatives, right? So everyone understands the language of a script, but on the face of it, it's just very, like, even less than a book. It's just very basic. It's like, here's a scene, something happens.
It depends on the creator, right? Because, like, if you read a Quentin Tarantino script, he, like, goes into, like, paragraphs of detail about what you expect. Like, The Hateful Eight, he goes into excruciating detail about, you know, things that you're seeing in the scene and why it should be this way, et cetera, et cetera. And he's using his own language because that's what he understands. And one of the things that I think once you start reading it, yes, there are certain conventions and certain styles that studios and executives are looking for when they're looking at scripts. But when it comes to, is there an exact way to write a script, there's not. And so looking at all these different scripts is just amazing.
Yeah. That's interesting. Real quick here. Oh, I lost it. Where'd it go? Oh, we should mention. Oh, no, we did, because Randy recommended it. It's on Netflix right now. So people want to see the movie and then read this as kind of a companion piece before or after or something. I don't know. It's a nice little look into how this stuff gets made. But so much of movies is visual, right? That it makes sense you'd have a more simplified outline as a script than some, you know, they're not going right from a novel or
I mean, the storyboarding would be insane for this.
Yeah.
Less so, you know, the script a lot more tame compared to the storyboarding that probably had to go on with that.
So there's a couple of different ways that you can approach a script. Some people say keep it bare bones and let the director come up with the vision and the shots that he or she wants in the making of the film. There's another group of people that are like, no, if you say that this shot needs, you know, that this scene needs to open on a close up of something, or if you want to do a big wide swooping swoosh across the valley or something, write it in there. And so it's, you know, there's no, certainly there's ways to make it pretty simplified. And this script, I would say, is probably in between, keeping it very bare bones and offering as much detail as you possibly can. And I think part of that is because this is animation, and so you do need to convey a lot more in animation than what you might get through interactions with the director and through the actors in the piece. And especially if you're trying to convey information to, and since Lord Miller directing this piece as well, you can go in and offer directions to the people who are animating stuff as well.
How far off do you think we are from this script, the way it's written? You just feed this into something and out comes the storyboarding AI storyboarding, and then you go back as a person and go, all right, yeah, well, we like what they've done here, but we're going to tweak this and add this. That seems like it's going to be part of the process sooner or later, don't you think?
I can see that. I mean, I think we're a ways off, because if you look, and I don't have, let me open up the script really quick, because if you look at some of the descriptions, one of the things that, especially when you're thinking about directing or when you're doing storyboards, are what are all of the angles and shots and things that you need? So if we go down into Chelsea Day exterior, Gwen walks against the foot traffic in her paint-streaked world, though she doesn't move through it so much as it moves around her, reflecting less how things are and more how she is. Mm. You can't feed that into an AI and have it spit out the angle and the color scheme and the tone that you're looking for in that. As far as the storyboard goes, I think we're probably getting closer. In fact, I probably should just copy this and paste it into ChatGPT, or not into, into Midjourney, and see what we come up with. And I'm going to bet that it's nothing close to.
Probably not. The reason I say this, though, it would have to be a model specifically trained for this job. It wouldn't be some general thing.
That's one of the things that, you know, some web cartoonists are saying is like, hey, get your own localized version of Chat or of Midjourney or one of these other systems, train it on your stuff so that when Scott Johnson says, I need a background for this, it'll go through and say, okay, well, a typical Scott Johnson background looks like this, and it can offer it up to you and be like, yeah, a little tweak here, a little tweak there, boom, you're done and ready to go.
Yeah,
so I think we're getting closer to that.
Was it you who, I can't remember if you were on here and talking about this or not, but we were talking about some comic book artist who's doing this very thing. He's having his own work trained into a model and then pooping in his backgrounds.
It is the guys who do, and I'm thinking it's off the top of my head. I can't remember. They do the Comics Lab podcast, but they have Sheldon is one of the web comics, and the other one. Now I forget who the other one is.
Oh,
but yeah, they've done it, and they're both kind of like,
Yeah, it's not great.
It's got a ways to go. Yeah, it's got a ways to go.
It's not great.
But you know, 2 years from now, I mean, we're just over a year from Midjourney being really open and ChatGPT being open to generalized public people. So 2 more years, might be real easy to just feed a script and pop out a storyboard. But again, it depends on what the director wants. He or she may say, you know what, I want this to be a very low angle. I want to see those steps on the sidewalk, and every time she steps into a puddle, the light, you know, reflects or does something different. Storyboard that out. That's something that the nuance of an AI model is not going to be able to do easily.
Yeah, but if they get really good at the real-time transcription of her saying that, the director saying, what I really want is a low shot near the water with a reflection, and it happening in real time, not waiting for it, it's just doing it. I mean, that's pretty compelling for a workflow.
Yeah, that would be really cool, too.
Yeah. Anyway, not to bring AI into every damn conversation I ever have, but I think about this stuff a lot. The Last of Us Season 2 begins filming in February, so we're not going to see this show till 2025, though, right?
No, probably not, unless they, and I don't know how many episodes Season 2 is supposed to be. I think, what was Season 1, like 10 episodes? So we figure if they begin shooting in February, let's say they're on a schedule of one episode per week, that's 10 weeks plus another 10 weeks of post-production, so... probably 2025, early 2025. Yeah,
probably
They would be pushing it to get it with the big production value.
I was gonna say there's a lot of post production that happens with that show, so
I'm just thinking, like The Flash on CW, that was a week to week where they basically had a week to prep, a week to shoot, and a week and a half to 2 weeks sometimes, but a lot of times it was a week to get all the post production done. So I would bet, just in the way that Max is weird right now, they're probably going to try to get it in 2024, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a February of 2025 release.
That makes sense to me. Do you
also, go ahead, ask your question.
I was just going to say, on the topic of game inspired or game related television projects, did you see the Fallout trailer?
I have not watched the Fallout trailer
yet, but I did see a trailer.
I did see a frame from it. Looked amazing.
It looks good. Yeah. I'm excited about it. If anything, it looks exactly like the game's aesthetic. And some people are worried about that. They feel like it's like, I don't know. People want it both ways. Either it looks too much like the thing they want to be good, or it doesn't look anything like the thing they want. I mean, whatever. I don't care about that argument, but it does look very Fallout. I mean, freaking Dog Meat, the dog is in it. There's still Brotherhood dudes in big, what are those called?
They're big.
Then suits. I forgot the name.
Suits. Yeah, that looks really
power
cool.
Suits. That's what they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
The guns look goofy. The blue jumpsuits you leave the vault with all look just exactly like the games. Like, it seems like they're really
humor,
going for it.
The humor is in there too, it seems.
Yeah, it seems a little goofy, a little funny. And also Walton Goggins as a ghoul with his nose missing.
Yeah, with no nose. Yeah.
excited about that.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, anyway, sorry, what were you going
to
say?
Back to Last of Us. Craig Mazin is the showrunner on that. He also has a podcast called Script Notes. So again, tying it back to the Spider-Man thing, if people want more insight into what goes into making a show, he was the one behind Chernobyl, Last of Us Season 1, obviously, and a bunch of other stuff. You can get some insight from two people that are working in the industry on that show.
Yeah.
The thing I was going to say is, you guys got any thoughts on Warner Brothers suddenly dumping like their entire lineup on Netflix?
It's a little weird. I mean, all that stuff is suddenly there. What I'm more concerned about is they pulled a ton of stuff from the PlayStation library, and that's not streaming. Those are movies you paid for. So if you spent, let's say, $14 on a movie, I can't think of a movie, but a movie from them, PlayStation put out this notice saying, look, if you bought any of these certain titles will no longer be playable after a certain time, which
December 31st, I believe.
Which means you don't own that shit after all.
Right, right.
Like, you should have rented.
Well, you never did, really.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think we're supposed to feel like we did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel
I feel like, I guess if I buy a movie from Apple TV and it downloads it to my computer, I feel like I own that. I don't feel like Apple could all of a sudden say, yep, now that movie that you bought through the music store, the movie store, whatever they call. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what they call it now that it's Apple Music. You don't own that. We're just going to pull that. Sorry. So sorry.
And Apple has done that in the past, right? I mean, they'll lose. I've had movies that I've purchased years ago that suddenly don't show up in the Apple store anymore. I can still, and of course I have it locally, but my understanding is they also just keep it on their servers for people who purchased it so that they can still play it, but they don't offer it for sale anymore.
Yeah.
That's different from what PlayStation is doing.
Yeah, that would be the way that they could save face and do it. Just say, well, if you've purchased it, you can still see it on our servers, but we won't be selling it anymore.
Yeah, and that would be fine. But what they are actually doing is the DRM is not allowing you to even play the damn thing.
Oh, that's horrible.
So there's going to be a suit or something there. It's going to get weird before it gets better. But in the case of this Netflix dump, it's just interesting because suddenly a bunch of stuff I associated specifically with Max are now just there in mass.
I noticed that it's not their Discovery offerings that are showing up on Netflix. I noticed that it's their Warner Brothers offerings that are showing up on
Netflix. So it's very specific to just their Warner Brothers stuff. Interesting.
That's what it looks like to me. But then again, I'm anti-Zaslav, so... this is not a surprise.
That might be a little bit of a bias, sure.
I mean, when you think about it, if you were thinking about it from a business perspective, if they are trying to stop the hemorrhaging of money and they are trying to pay off the $5 billion debt that they have, license that stuff out to any streamer that wants it. Netflix obviously is very interested in this. Who knows how long those agreements are going on, but it's a way to help pay off that debt. But on the other hand, something doesn't smell quite right when it comes to David Zaslav.
Yeah, something's weird. I don't trust that guy at all.
I don't either.
He's
no
a poo-poo.
Way.
He's a poo-poo head.
Yeah. Ooh, harsh.
I know. I'm getting pretty harsh. I know.
I mean, suddenly Warner Brothers dumping all this stuff on Netflix is great for me because I canceled my Max subscription years ago when he first took over. So
that's true. Yeah. Real quick, you mentioned Craig Mazin, the showrunner for Last of Us, Chernobyl and all that. It was his daughter. We've talked about this on the show before, but just as a way of reminder, his daughter did that cover of, I can find it. Oh, shoot. What's the name of it, though? I've got the album here, but I can't find the name of the song. Anyway, there's a song on there that aired in the last or second to last episode. I can't remember which. That is so good. Such a cool cover. I wish I could find
it. What's her name?
Never Let Me Down Again. Her name is Jessica.
Never Let Me Down Again. What is it again? What's her name?
Okay.
Jessica Mazin.
Jessica Mazin.
M-A-Z-I-N.
Such a great cover, dude. It's so good.
Cool.
And his daughter's got like an amazing voice. She's like an angel. Anyway, well, there's that. Let's talk about Lego Fortnite because that's happening December 7th.
Are you excited for this?
No, I don't care.
No.
My oldest son, we were talking. He's like, hey, Dad, did you see so-and-so was in Fortnite? I was like, oh, yeah. Did you see that Lego was in Fortnite? He's like, yeah. And I was like, what do you think about that? He goes, I'm interested in seeing what it is, but supposedly it's going to change up the gameplay of Fortnite.
It makes sense. They do this with their big seasonal stuff. They just had the M&M concert, and you can get the M&M skin, and you know, they do. So they do a lot of music tie-ins, a lot of other stuff. I noticed they're putting Peter Griffin from Family Guy in the game.
Yeah.
And what's great about it, at first I was just like, that's annoying, whatever, I don't care, Fortnite. But I actually kind of like it because somebody showed me, in these kind of games, especially Fortnite, when you get shot, you're not killed right away. You're down on your legs crawling around. And people can run up to you and decide what to do. And your friends can revive you, but they can finish you off if the bad guy comes. What happens when Peter Griffin goes down is he does that thing where he rolls on his back, holds his knee, and goes, and he'll do that until the timer runs out. It's amazing.
Somebody, awesome. Yeah. Somebody needs to put on a giant chicken skin.
Yeah, right. It just have the
that might be in there.
The long overdone fight.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me if that was in there. But yeah, no, so these crossovers are pretty crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the cool things is everybody can be minifigures, and so you can take your skins, your costumes that you wear in Fortnite, and put them on your minifigures. But if you go over to the LEGO website, they're like super cagey on everything in a frequently asked questions. Like the question is, what do you do in LEGO Fortnite? And the answer is, be prepared for something a little different than what you're used to, but more news to follow after the game launches on December 7th.
Okay. It's not a lot of info, but
I'm guessing they're going to do more of the, if you've ever played any of the other LEGO video games, where in Fortnite, obviously, you're supposed to build forts. But I'm sure they're going to make it more LEGO oriented when you're building all of your, your walls.
Go around
and steps
collecting
and all
pieces to be able to build.
It wouldn't surprise me if you have to collect pieces in order to build those things.
That makes sense. Lean into the LEGO part of it. Why not?
Sure.
Yeah.
Enjoy that, kids and adults who also enjoy Fortnite. It's coming.
and Scott, who will play it on December 7th.
I'm not playing that. I don't care. I don't have any, I like no build mode. It's actually pretty fun where you don't have the building, but that seems antithetical to the LEGO thing. So I don't know why I would do that, but no build mode in that game is actually pretty legit, but it's the one where they're all spending the last 10 minutes of the fight constructing ridiculous
structures that you're never ever going to be able to climb or
and just hiding from everybody, each other. It sucks. I hate it. I can't stand that part of the game.
Did you ever play it when it before it became battle royale, when it was just
the us versus the world mode or whatever? Yeah. That's the original game design. That's all it was going to be. And what happened is what's that game called?
PUBG.
Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, whatever the hell it's called. That game comes out. The game mode takes off like crazy, explodes overnight, and those guys at Epic just pivoted. They went, what if we made that mode real quick? And they did, and that took off, and now it's the only thing anyone cares about. Nobody's playing the us versus the world mode. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody is, I don't know who they are. It's just like hardly anybody. That's one of the greatest, weirdest pivots in game history, and it totally paid off for those guys. So I guess well done? I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. That is going to do it for today. Steven, anything going on your site that people should check out this holiday season?
Oh, this holiday season, we are getting ready to wrap up our Major Spoilers podcast for the year. And if people got a kick out of our Batman's Got a Gun special episode, I am in the process right now of wrapping up the editing of a big two-part thing that I'm not going to talk about. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but let's just say it has to do with comic book history and a certain big publisher and something that they did that went horribly, horribly wrong for them.
Oh, I cannot even guess what this is.
Big publisher. I know. Yeah. It feels like there's so many options it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Brian knows because Brian read the script already. So.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Like last year, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know then. I still have no idea. Brian, do you know? What he means?
I'm not remembering. No.
All right. Well, you're gonna have to wait
You'll
and see.
Just
like the rest
have
of us.
To wait. I'll tell you more next time I'm on the show.
I can't wait. Awesome. Should I be drinking this time of year? It's a little cooler. I don't have to think.
No. The only thing you should be drinking. I mean, the problem is you go outside of alcohol and then you get in big trouble. So what you should do is just drink plenty of water and stay hydrated.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Excellent news. All right.
I like that he thought you meant drinking.
By the way,
No, Scott, don't start drinking.
I don't know why you thought I meant that, but it's fine. I like it. Let's move on to the couple of messages before we leave. All right. Here's one from Grandmaster Jarf, a.k.a. Jeff the Mailman from Maine. Says, good morning, guys. This is kind of about the song request. He says, this is Grandmaster Jarf, a.k.a. Jeff, so definitely a dude. I just heard the cover of Who Wants to Live Forever, and while I was walking my mail route delivering mail, which, yes, I also hate inline catalogs, I stopped and I cried, he says. My goodness. Aww. Thank you for that amazing cover song. And yes, every November 21st isn't a good day at all, but I have to power through it because life doesn't stop for anything. However, thank you for the amazing cover and thank you for all the good work. Please keep it up. Thanks. So I thought that was really nice, wasn't it?
That's great. Yeah, Bella Goldwyn did that cover and just amazing, amazing voice on her.
Yeah, that was a really good, that was a great cover. And I'm glad it hit you right there in the feels there, Jeff. Keep delivering those inline catalogs. Final message. This is a dates question for Brian. They did not leave a name, so I'll just read it as is. Okay. I have a question for Brian. I am always amazed by all the awesome and unique date nights Tina and you go on. How do you find all these ideas?
Oh, it's a good question. All right, so if Tina's listening, I want you to stop listening right now, Tina. Don't worry. We won't say anything funny for the rest of the show anyway, so you can stop listening to this episode right now because I don't want you to know how I find a lot of these. All right, hopefully she's not listening anymore. Surprisingly, things like Groupon and Eventbrite, you'll find these like one-off learn to clog dance kind of things, you know, little tickets to learn how to paint mosaics or something like that, or assemble mosaics, things like that. Like you find some really unusual one night only kind of events that are perfect for date night. Like what's this one? Money 101, but first chocolate. So it's a chocolate and learning to invest. Nope. Thank you very much. Let's see. Colorado Arson, Hazel Miller. Oh, Hazel Miller's coming to town. That'd be cool. Irish Christmas in America. So an Irish Christmas festival thing. Mm. Oh, she would totally dig that. See, that's another good one. Pints and Pours.
Oh, yeah.
With Launchpad Brewery. Go. You do, looks like tie-dye painting and brewery. So,
oh, that's cool.
It's stuff like that that you find. And then you just basically target, like, say, okay, well, it's things that Tina has to like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I specifically look for.
Yeah,
look,
like there's Alanis Morissette coming to the USANA Amphitheater in West Valley City, Utah.
There you go.
Like almost half off these tickets.
Yeah, see, there you go.
So you get deals and ideas. So deals, ideas, and more.
Right, exactly.
That's our new website coming out, deals, ideas, and more. Very excited about it.
Here you go. How to make wooden jewelry, Sunday, December 31st. Making woodworking and jewelry right there. And
boy, I'll tell you one thing that's annoying. They got some weird code on their website that made it so their pop-up that makes you got to either click out of it or sign up for the coupon to see anything else. For some reason, it put it way at the bottom of the page, and it just looked like their page was broken.
Oh, geez. I hate that.
It's effed. Yeah. Anyway, that's cool. Ooh, Kangaroo Zoo. Any day pass, usually 17, I can get it for 11? What?
See? There you go.
All right.
Kangaroo Zoo, look at that. That sounds fun.
I don't even know what it is. Some kind of thing.
I don't either.
Oh, I can go to iRock, Utah, where they got the big, huge fan that blows you up in the tube. What's that called?
The indoor skydiving.
Yeah. They got a place called iFly, which is Flow Rider. It has a Flow Rider. Is that a brand? Well, anyway.
Must be.
$116
low rider.
$116, usually 67, and a perfect date.
Oh, see, there you go. Yeah.
Biscuit and Hogs. All right. Anyway.
See what I mean? Easy to find this stuff if you know where to look. So,
all right. There's your trick.
Hopefully Tina didn't just discover my secret.
It'd be funny if her method for your secret dates is like way more complicated and a huge pain in the butt, and then she just found out how easy it is for you. That'd be funny.
Yeah, but see, the problem is that's great, but I don't want her to see, like, she'll be spoiled if she sees some of these things and says, oh, I know what Brian's picking for me. He's going to totally do this.
Oh, yeah. You don't want her to know. You don't want her to see.
I don't want her to know.
Exactly. But I want to know what her process is what I'm saying. I want to know how she's finding
yours. Maybe we can get her to call in, and I swear to God, I will take my headphones off. I'll ask her to play or record a clip and send it to you about how she picks her mystery dates.
Do it. Yeah, we'll do it on the air. You'll take your headphones off, and you guys can hear it.
I'll take my headphones off, and I won't listen.
All right. Tina, it's now in your court, the ball. All right. That is it for stuff you guys sent in. If you want to send us emails, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com. And if you want to send us texts, you can do that also at 801-471-0462. That includes voicemails. And today, even though a bunch of you will say, I don't remember you telling us this, I'm going to put a bunch of calls that don't really fit in the main show or are a little too long or are older. I'm going to put those in post today. So you're going to hear a whole bunch of those at the tail end of the show. Cool. Every once in a while, just kind of do a little afterburner and poop a bunch of them out.
So be after the final song?
Yeah, after the song, you'll hear those. For patrons, you'll hear it before our post show. So watch.
Because I want to hear those too, so I'll go listen.
Yeah, that'll be good. Brian, I think that's it. Let's do a song to leave with. Do you have one of those handy?
I do. Sue Tranu wrote in and said, the Equal Rights Amendment was first introduced 100 years ago this month.
Wow.
And we still haven't figured it out. This goes out to all us men because seriously, it's about time we did something productive. Here, Sue Tranu. Wanted to hear this cover right here. I played this recently on Coverville's Guess the Connection. There was a quiz where I used this song, but it's so good. I want to use it here. I want to play it here. It's a cover of Aretha Franklin's arrangement of Respect. Of course, Aretha Franklin did a cover of Otis Redding's Respect and added the whole R-E-S-P-E-C-T and the backing vocals, sock it to me, all, et cetera. So she made the song completely her own. And when people cover that song, they cover the Aretha Franklin version usually. This is a version by Lenka from her Recover EP from 2020. Here is Respect.
What you want, baby, I got. What you need, you know I got it. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you get home. Respect, oh. I don't wanna. All I'm asking is for.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Drive around a pickup truck with Granny strapped to the back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.